God. You are great and greatly to be praised. You are high and lifted up. There's no one like you, Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody, from the bottom of your heart, why don't you give God some glory in the house? He's worthy of all of the praise. Oh, Jesus. I believe that God came here with an agenda today. And the challenge of our humanity is to lay aside our own agendas. The challenge as the man to stand behind this pulpit today is to lay aside any agendas I may have and to allow God's agenda to take precedence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all right. You can lighten up a little bit. It's okay. There's a deep undertowing of the Holy Ghost in the house. And if somebody would just yield to it. Hallelujah. Somebody just yield to it. That tension that you're feeling would go away. God's already been tugging on some folks this morning. God's already been doing a work even throughout the worship service. Amen. Hallelujah. It's an honor to stand before you this morning. I do not take this lightly. Any opportunity to feel this sacred desk is an extremely high honor and an incredible burden. And it's an honor to stand before you. I give honor to our pastor and first lady. It is our prayer that they are relaxing and resting, recuperating from all the stress that they have to deal with. Thank God that they get a break and get to get away for a few days. Amen. Hallelujah. And since they're not here, I'll just go ahead and put a little plug in. The greatest thing that we can do for those people is pray for them. They don't need our money. Yeah, they enjoy a meal out to eat every once in a while or something like that. But the greatest thing we can do is, number one, pray. And number two, get behind them 100%. Hallelujah. They need our love and our prayers and our support. Because God has given them a huge task. And it's not just to shepherd us. That's a big enough task in and of itself to have to put up with me, I know. I can't imagine how many prayers he has to pray for me. But he's given them the task of leading this charge for this city. And that's an incredible, incredible burden. And we need to commit ourselves to time and prayer for our pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. Give honor to my wife, beautiful lady this morning. Say, Brother Long, you just stalling. No, not stalling this morning. I feel like God's given us direction, but somebody needs to get their spirit right before we move on. And I wonder if one more time we could just lift our hands and surrender to God. Come on, somebody. Lord, right now, we come against every thought that is bombarding the minds of individuals. In the name of Jesus, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We worship you.
We thank you for what you're doing, oh God, for what you're going to do in this place. We thank you for the stirring and the drawing of your spirit. Jesus, we love you. We love you. We love you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, we'd like to turn to the gospel according to Luke. The gospel according to Luke, chapter number 19. Hallelujah. Begin reading verse number 1. For most of us in here, this is probably a very familiar passage of Scripture. But I do not want to make assumptions that everyone in here knows this story. So those of you who do, just bear with me this morning, because we're going to walk through it a little slowly. All right? Hallelujah. Luke chapter 19, verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. He was little of stature. I didn't come to pick on all the short folks today. Hallelujah. Sister Bria, you're okay. I didn't come to pick on you. Sister Lopez isn't back there, is she? No. Amen. I want to talk to us for a few moments this morning. People in need of a Savior. People in need of a Savior. You can be seated. Thank you for standing today. As already stated, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture for most of us. I remember being a child in Sunday school, and Sister Bria, I can relate to this too, because I'm not the tallest guy in the world either. So I remember being in Sunday school and hearing this story, and I guess it never really dawned on me how much detail God inspired Dr. Luke to include in this passage of Scripture. The simple fact that he would give us this information about Zacchaeus, that he was rich and he was of little stature. He was short. The poor guy. Wait, he was rich. No. It's all right to laugh this morning. It's okay. But I find it very interesting that God would include some of these details in this story. And I remember being a kid, we kind of chuckled about it. It's a short guy. He had to climb up in the tree to see Jesus, you know. But last night I pulled open my Bible and began to read this passage of Scripture. The Holy Ghost quickened me to this chapter and began to read. And I was like, God, what is it in this story that's so significant? And again, this morning early, I began to read this passage. And I find it very interesting that they would point out to us that, number one, Zacchaeus was rich. He had all of the things that money could buy. His bank account was full and running over. He no doubt had the finest chariots and horses. No doubt he lived in the finest mansion in Jericho. You see, he was a tax collector. And he made it his job and his duty and his responsibility to impose taxes upon the people. And it was his responsibility to collect those taxes. And if he decided today that he was going to take an extra 50% in your taxes, he would take it. If he decided tomorrow he was going to take everything you had in your bank account, he was going to take it, because he just claimed it was the taxes that were due to the Roman government. So here's this man who has everything this world has to offer. He has riches. He has position. He has title. No doubt because of his possessions, he had many so-called friends. He had anything he wanted. Yet he was short. And for all his great importance, he was a small man. As the Sunday school song says, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Just Just bear with me this morning. It's all right. We're going somewhere. As I begin to read this again this morning, it's like the Holy Ghost quickened me to that phrase of, because he was little of stature. Because for all of his great importance, I just have to think that Zacchaeus looked in the mirror every morning and said, yeah, I may have position in this world, but really, I have no importance for anything great. Yeah, I have a great name, and I can thwart my authority, and I can take whatever I want from these people, and I have money in the bank, and I can buy whatever I want, and I can go wherever I would like to go. I could go on the biggest vacations, and it wouldn't bother me, and it wouldn't hurt me to buy the most expensive clothes that I can find, and I could go to the tailor and have him create something very special for me. It's one of a kind, and it wouldn't bother me in one bit. Yet, for all of my importance, really, I'm nothing. Because he was little of stature. I don't know who you are in this house today, but I felt the Holy Ghost quickening me to tell you that it doesn't matter how unimportant you may feel. It doesn't matter how insignificant it may seem you are. To God, you are important. To God, you are everything. You are the apple of his eye. It doesn't matter. Oh, it doesn't matter what your family background may be. It doesn't matter what's behind you in your past. To God Almighty, you are important. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what type of addictions you have dealt with. To Almighty God, you are important. For he created you with a divine purpose. He did not allow you to be on this earth. Oh, I feel my help coming on. He did not allow you to be upon this earth just to fulfill some seemingly insignificant purpose. But he created you with a very specific design. He created you with a very specific purpose. And he placed you on this earth understanding and knowing that I am going to use you for my glory. Oh, I don't want to get ahead of myself here this morning. Because Zacchaeus, for all of his great wealth, to himself, I have to imagine that he seemed very insignificant and very small. And he was in need of a Savior. I don't know about you, but I've found that in those very, very, very few times when there's been a little extra money in the bank, and yeah, we might be able to take a little vacation or do something fun, but really, it doesn't satisfy. Because there's really one thing that we're all reaching for, and that's God. Because he's pulling on us. He's drawing us closer to him each and every day. He's saying, yeah, you may think that you need a bigger house. You may think you need a new car. And if you've got a nice big house and a beautiful car, I'm not knocking that today, okay? But there's just, we live in this rat race of a world that says, oh, I've got to have this and I got to have that. And I've got to do this and do that. And what God's really saying is, hey, if you'll just get a relationship with me, I will be your comfort. I will be sufficient for you. Come on, I'm reaching for some souls in the house this morning. God wants me to tell you that you are important to him. It doesn't matter what you've been through in your life. It doesn't matter what your pedigree may be. It doesn't matter who your mom and dad are or who they are not. You are important to God. And the things of this world will never satisfy. We see that in the story of Zacchaeus. Because for all that he possessed, we find that he would hear the story of the man named Jesus. And he would say, you know what, I've got to go find a way to get to this man. I got to go check him out and see who he is. And we find in this passage of scripture, as we continue to read through this story, that because of Zacchaeus' height, his stature, he would come to the press or the crowd, and they would be lining the streets to see Jesus, just to perhaps touch the hem of his garment maybe, or maybe to cry out to him, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And as Jesus was passing by, hopefully they would receive their miracle. Some would receive sight. Some would receive healing in their blood. Some would receive legs growing back. Some would receive the withered hand being outstretched. But here's Zacchaeus, and he says, if I could just get there, I just need to get a glimpse of this man, Jesus. It seems like I've got it all together, and I've got everything I need. But I just need to get a glimpse of this man, Jesus. And I don't care what I gotta do to get to him. You see, I have to imagine and wonder, what were the other people saying that day about Zacchaeus? I just imagine old Methuselah standing there. I know he's in the Old Testament, but there's probably somebody in the New Testament named Methuselah too. I can just imagine him standing there in the crowd watching for Jesus and hearing a little commotion of sandals scraping on some tree bark behind him. Turns and looks and he does a double taking. He bumps Fred. He says, "Hey, that's Zacchaeus. He just came to my house yesterday and collected tax. What's he doing climbing up in that tree? He's got anything he wants. All he has to do is walk in and announce his name and send his little entourage before him, and he can stand on the front row. What's he doing climbing that tree?" You see, some of us like to use our position within the church. Some of us like to use what we think is our importance and say, "Well, I deserve to be something special. I deserve to get to Jesus first." But here's Zacchaeus, and he says, "You know what? I don't care what anybody thinks about me. It doesn't matter what anybody has to say. I just came to see Jesus. I wish somebody in Apostolic Temple this morning would get that mentality. If I came in need of a Savior today, and I don't care what anybody thinks, I don't care what anybody says, I'm just going to get in the presence of Almighty God. If I got to climb a sycamore tree just so I can see the Master, I'm going to climb up that tree. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if I mess up my hair. I don't care if I rip my suit. I don't care if I scuff my shoes. I just came to see Jesus. I wish somebody in the house today would get that determination. Oh, come on. Oh, but we let our pride get in the way. Well, I can't make it look like I need something. I got to make it look like I got it all together. I'm a Sunday school teacher, and if I make it look like I don't have it all together, Brother Long might kick me off the Sunday school team, and pastor may come and sit me down in his office. No. Because every single one of us are in the same boat this morning. We're all just people in need of a Savior. You see, there's an old saying, and I've heard it a lot from the Southern Baptists. They talk about being saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Honey, let me just explain something to you. Until you make it in the rapture and you're inside those pearly gates, you ain't saved yet. We're all just people in need of a Savior. I don't care if you've been in the church for 75 years, you're still somebody in need of a Savior. I don't care if you've been in the church for 2 days. You're still just somebody in need of a Savior. Oh, come on. I wish somebody in the house this morning would get a determination that says, "I don't care what happens. I don't care what's going on. I don't care how it may look. I just came to get a hold of Jesus. I just came to get a glimpse of the Master. I got needs. I got problems. I got circumstances I don't know how to deal with. And I just came in need of a Savior." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to move as quickly as I can this morning. Good thing I didn't bring a clock up here with me. Hallelujah. You see, we can read all throughout Scripture, and I don't have time to go all through the Old Testament, but if it's all right, I'm going to pull out a few different instances out of the New Testament. We read of a man, actually in the Old Testament, whose name is Samson. Here he is, a prophet, a judge of Israel. And the Bible tells us that he found himself in a situation where he had lost everything. He had lost his authority in the spirit. He had lost everything that he possessed. And here he is standing between the pillars of a temple to some pagan god. And he prayed, "God, if you'll just restore my power, if you'll just restore me, then I'll do what it is that I've been called to do." You see, Samson found himself, and for all of his might and his power and his strength, God had to humble him and put him in a place where he understood, "I'm still just somebody in need of a Savior." We read of the demoniac and the Gadarenes. The Bible tells us that Jesus and his disciples crossed over the Sea of Galilee. And when Jesus stepped off the boat, here comes this man who was bound and possessed by devils. And the Bible tells us that he had been off bound and no man could bind him with chains or fetters of any kind. But he lived in the tombs and he would run naked through the tombs, screaming because of these demons that possessed him. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus stepped off of the boat onto the seashore, that this demoniac ran to him and fell at his feet and began to worship. You see, I don't care what kind of devils you are dealing with. They are bound and subject to bow at the feet of Jesus Christ. They are bound. Somebody, you got to understand. There is no power that's greater than God Almighty. Jesus Christ, he died, but he rose again. And he says, all power in heaven and earth, give unto me. Oh, come on, somebody. You got to realize. It doesn't matter what you've been dealing with at home. It doesn't matter what kind of devils are trying to attack your mind. God Almighty is greater. And what you are this morning is really just somebody in need of a Savior. And if you'll be willing, if you'll be willing to say it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It doesn't matter what I got to do. I just got to get to Jesus. Hallelujah. We find this man bound by demons, possessed for I don't know how long. Oh, and he would run to the feet of Jesus and he would bow. And those demons within him would cry out, have mercy on us. Jesus would command the legion to come out of this man. He was just a man in need of a Savior. He was just a man in need of a Savior. You say, oh, Brother Long, this is real elementary this morning. This is real simple. Yeah, you better believe it is. And this whole book is pretty simple, really. See, we try to complicate it with our human intellect. We try to complicate it because we're so pious and we like to be so spiritual and act like we're so spiritual, at least. Well, I don't know if that's really what that means. And my commentary says this. And well, if we really get in the spirit and pray a little while, God will start revealing to us what this thing really means. Because what this whole book comes down to is that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again on the third day so that we could be saved. That's really all it's about. It's a promise. Hallelujah. The demoniac was just a man in need of a Savior. The woman at Jacob's well, Jesus looked at the disciples and he says, I must needs go through Samaria. And he walks up to Jacob's well for a drink of water, and there's a woman there. Most of us know this story. I'm not trying to belabor these points today, but I do feel like God's tugging on somebody's heart this morning. Maybe it's a saint that's been in this thing for a long time, and maybe it's someone who's never walked into an apostolic church before. Whoever you are, God's been pulling on your heart ever since you walked in the door of this building. And I'm just here to tell you, you're just like the rest of us. We're all just people in need of a Savior. You don't have to hang your head in shame. You don't have to look at yourself and say, well, I'm not fit to be a part of this thing. Because every single person in this place, everyone under the sound of my voice, we're all just people in need of a Savior. Yeah, we may have a nice suit and tie on. Yeah, it may look like we got it all together. But every day I live, I'm in need of a Savior. We find this woman at Jacob's well. Jesus looks at her and asks her for a drink. And she begins to kind of argue with him. Because here again, she wants to put forth a good front and make it seem like everything's okay. But Jesus, I mean, he's God robed in flesh. He knows everything. He looks at her and starts to tell her whole life story. He says, go get your husband. She says, I have no husband. He said, yeah, that's right. You don't have a husband. You've had five husbands. And the one you're with now, he's not even your husband. I can just imagine her eyes getting real big at this point. And what does she look at Jesus and say, Brother Blue? She says, I perceive you're a prophet. Duh. You know, I don't know, but this is just Clinton Long interpretation this morning, but I just kind of have to believe that Jesus kind of chuckled to himself like, yeah, you think? I could tell you some more if you like. He says, I have water that I can give you, and when you drink it, you'll never thirst again. And to distract Jesus from her own life and her own problems, she said, oh, give me this water. I'd like some. That'd be good. I won't have to come back to the well and draw water again. See, she wanted to take the easy road. She wanted the easy way out. You see, this woman was in need of a Savior, and she came face to face with the Savior. No, it wasn't riches. It wasn't fame. It wasn't that perfect man that would save her from the sins of her past. No, she came face to face with the Savior. And she started trying to make excuses. But we know the story that finally it gets to the point where she runs into the town and she begins to gather all the people and she says, come see a man. Come see a man that told me everything. You see, she understood and realized, I'm in need of a Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke chapter number 5, verse number 29. And Levi made him a great feast, speaking of Jesus. He made the feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them, for their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole have not or need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came to tell somebody today that if you're sick in this place, it doesn't matter if you're sick in body or sick in spirit, sick in mind. It doesn't matter what it is. If you came into this house and you're in need of a Savior, he's here. He came specifically to this place for you this morning. Oh, he came with you in mind. Oh, and just like he spoke of the woman at the well, he said, I must needs go through Pasadena today because there's somebody that's in need of a Savior. There's somebody that needs to reach out to me. Hello. And I challenge you this morning, if you'll just reach out to him, if you'll reach out to him forgetting about what anybody thinks, what anybody says, if you'll just reach out to him, he will meet you at the point of your need. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Maybe you've been reaching for finances. Maybe you've been reaching for a new job. Maybe you've been reaching for a new house. Maybe you've been reaching for a new car, a new relationship. Let me just tell you in the house today, Jesus is what you've been reaching for. You may think all those other things are going to satisfy, but Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Savior of all mankind, he's the one you're reaching for today. He's here in this house right now. And if you would cry out to him, he will meet you in this house. Well, Brother Long, what do I do? How am I supposed to reach this Savior? I'm glad you asked. John chapter number 3 tells us a story. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, so you ask today, what is he talking about there? Unless you repent of your sins and you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and then you are filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking out of the tongues, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, Brother Long, that sounds real harsh. I thought if I just lived a good life, I could make it. No, that's not what Jesus said. He said, except a man be born again of water and of the Spirit. I'm not trying to preach hard this morning and condemn anything you've been taught before. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. Except you be born again of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Well, how do I do that? You fall on your knees with the understanding that I just need a Savior. And you begin to repent. What is repentance? That the word repent is a Greek word that means to do an about face. It's a military term. It means to change direction. See, most of what we do is really just confession. God, I sinned. I messed up. I'm sorry. And then we run right back to it the next day. But true repentance is a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of direction. If you just want to confess, you can go to the Catholic Church and do that. That's all it is. But true repentance is saying, you know what? I don't like the way I've been walking. I'm going to turn and I'm going to walk a different direction. We have an Old Testament example of this. We find the prophet Jonah. God said, go preach to Nineveh. He said, I don't want to go preach to those people. They're cruel. They're mean. They're going to beat me up. So he goes and gets on a ship and decides he's going the opposite direction. The storm comes up, and the Bible says that all the other sailors on the boat began to fear for their lives. See, some of us get ourselves in situations, and our family, the other people in the boat with us, begin to have to deal with circumstances. You know what? It's time for some of us to get out of the boat. I find two times in Scripture where somebody got out of the boat. See, this church is a boat. This is the ark of saving, okay? And I thought I was going to just preach about this morning, but the Lord had other plans. Jonah jumped out of the boat because his life was headed the wrong direction. You know what he did? He had to stay in the belly of a whale for 3 days. But when he came out, brother, he was repented. He changed directions. He went where God was calling him to go. That's true repentance. The other time we find in Scripture where somebody got out of the boat is Simon Peter. They're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. The storm comes up, and they're in the boat, and they see a figure walking on the water, and they say, Jesus, if it's you, bid me come. And Jesus says, it is I. And Peter says, all right, fellas, I'm going. And he jumps out of the boat. You know the only time you should ever get out of the boat is when Jesus ain't in the boat with you. I don't know who you are this morning, but if the boat you're on is headed the wrong direction, it's time to get out of it. It doesn't matter what family might say. It doesn't matter what your religious background is. If the boat you're on is headed the wrong direction, it's time to abandon ship. It's time to get out of that thing and start heading the direction God wants you to go. It's the only time you ever get out of the boat is to get closer to Jesus. And let me tell somebody in this, oh, I didn't know we were going here either. Let me just kind of take care of this little thought that's been running through somebody's mind. Devil's been working on you, saying, yeah, you ought to just go find you another church. Let me just tell you right now, this church is an ark for the saving of your household. And there's no reason for you to get out of this boat and go find another one, because Jesus is here. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling it right now. Come on, somebody. You better make up your mind. It doesn't matter if I don't agree with everything the pastor does. Don't shut down on me now. There's somebody, the devil's been working on your mind, and you've been pondering it for a few weeks now. Maybe we ought to just go somewhere else. Maybe we should go somewhere where we're really appreciated. Maybe we could go somewhere where we can really be involved, and they're not so self-righteous. And no, if you just live right and do what the pastor's asking you to do. If you just live and do what the Word of God's asking you to do. Let me just warn somebody, don't get out of this boat. You better, oh, it doesn't matter what kind of storms it may face. You better hang on for dear life, because this is where you find salvation. And this is, I'm not saying that Apostolic Temple is the only one God church, but if you ever think about changing religions or changing organizations, so to speak, or changing what you believe, let me just tell you, this is the only boat that's going to heaven. This is the old gospel ship. This is the only way that you can be saved. I don't care what they're saying at some church down the road that, well, if you'll just come in and pay your tithes and believe on Jesus, you can be saved. No, that's not the way this works. My Bible says that I've got to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins and be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I don't care what you've been taught. That's the word of God. And if you don't believe it, you better go study it some more. My God, this is the only boat that's going to make it to heaven. There is no other way. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, if I or any other man come to you preaching any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. This is the only way to be saved. This is the only plan of salvation. There is no other way.
Hallelujah. In fact, Jesus would stand up and read from the scriptures, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." I need to remind somebody today, what you need is not more money in the bank. What you need is not financial security. What you need is Jesus, because you're just in need of a Savior. Just like the rest of us, you are in need of a Savior. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your stature may be in physical things. It doesn't matter what your stature may be in society. You are just someone in need of a Savior. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be ashamed of, because there's no shame in God Almighty. There's no shame in Him. You know why? Because we all come the same way. We all come as babies. Musicians can come. I feel the Holy Ghost pulling my coattail, shutting me down. We all come in the same way. That little baby, and I'm not trying to be crude this morning, but that little baby is birthed into this world complete and naked, without clothing, without covering. And that baby doesn't understand what shame is. And some of us need to open our spirit to God Almighty and say, "God, I come completely open to you. I come completely open." Some of us that have been in this thing for a long time, we've been harboring bitterness and hatred. We come with disgruntled spirits every service. We come in and we say, "Well, I'm here to fulfill my obligation. If the pastor would just hurry up and preach, I can go eat now." In fact, you came into this house this morning saying, if I'd have known he wasn't going to be here, I probably wouldn't even showed up. Can I encourage somebody today? If you'll just allow yourself to be open to God, He'll reach in and He'll begin to pull that hurt from you. He'll begin to pull the bitterness out of the soul that's been tormented by it for so long. Because
because we're really all just people in need of a Savior. Let's all stand this morning. I don't really know who I'm reaching for. I know there's more than just one in this house. But hear this young preacher this morning, I beg you. Don't be ashamed to come down to this altar. Don't be intimidated by what people may think of you. But we're all in the same boat. We're all just people in need of a Savior. I don't know what kind of need you walk in this house with today, but I challenge you, if you'll find your way to this old-fashioned altar, that God Almighty will meet you here. Come on, somebody. You don't have to have it all together. It can look that way on the outside, but God knows the heart. God knows the heart. And even now, He's searching the heart that is open to Him. He's searching and saying, is there anything? Is there anything that would keep them from Me? I need to remind somebody right now that God created you with a purpose. He created you for a reason. It doesn't matter how insignificant you may feel. It doesn't matter how unimportant your life may seem to God. You are a precious treasure. You are a priceless jewel. And He gave His life for you. And He gave everything so that you could have life. And come on, He's reaching for you right now. If you'll reach back to Him, He will meet you. Oh, come on, church, let's all pray together this morning.